Hello, Laura. How are you going?
I am so excited. We're moving house in 4 days. And it's all I can think about. In fact, I'm surprised that we're actually sitting down and recording a podcast episode because my brain's all over the place.
I thought you were going to say, I'm surprised we're still together.
That too.
You have been driving me mad.
Really?
Yeah.
Because my favorite phrase at the moment is, when we're in the new house.
Yes.
For anyone who's listening, who's just tuned in, maybe we are new to you and you have no idea what we're talking about. We're about to move house. And
I like what you said there. Maybe we're new to you.
Maybe we're weird to you is more the question. But actually, when this episode goes out, it will be moving day.
Yeah.
We're recording it early because we know that we won't be able to fit in our normal podcast routine next week because we're moving house.
Yeah. Like, we get the keys on Tuesday, and judging by the way you've been the last couple of weeks, I cannot see us getting any work done next week. So we're just doing some stuff.
Yes. We're going to pretty much take next week off just for housey stuff. And then we will record a podcast episode down the track, and maybe we'll be able to get a vlog together as well to share with you all about this house move. And particularly, we'll try and bring some art into it and talk about how I'll be setting up my space to make art at home. We do have another studio as well, but it's important to be able to make art in your your home where you love to be.
Very important.
So I want to talk a bit about that, and it will be a small space, and I think that will be great because many people only have a small space to make art, and it doesn't matter. You can still get in there and create.
Yeah, and the good thing about the vlog is we're taking some stuff from our old house, like from the garden and the little studio that we have in our own house, that's going to now transfer to the new house. So there's going to be a nice little bit of content there. How to set up a space.
Yes. And on that garden thing, what I've actually been doing is pressing flowers in the garden. So I can't wait to see how they turn out and how I can incorporate them into my art journal practice, which is something that I've been absolutely loving. I never realized I'd get so swept up in working in sketchbooks, but yeah, it's transformed my way of making art. I'm not sure if I'm ever going to get back to painting canvases at this rate, but who knows? And that's another topic for another day. But today's topic is actually a bit of a flow on from the last couple of conversations that we've had. So we've talked about how do you find your style when you love too many things? And then we went on to talking about painting in a series and putting together a collection. So I'll link both of those episodes. They are episode 108 and 1010. So I was thinking about this.
1010?
1010, sorry. 110. I always get the numbers wrong. If you are ever listening to an episode, I suggest you go over to the show notes because sometimes I muddle things up when I'm talking. So I thought that a natural flow on would be to talk about how do you sell your work once you've put together a collection, and specifically how to sell your work online. This is something that I get asked about all the time, and there are many different options with pros and cons. So I want to run through them today. Some of them I have personal experience with, and some of them it's because I've chatted to other artists that I know about and I've done my research. And I wanted to present various different ways that you could go with this. And it also depends on what stage you're at in your artist journey. Because I love selling art through my website. That works well for me. I have a Squarespace site. But I also have built up an audience over the years, and I can get people over to my website. And I'm very mindful when you're first starting out, you can put all your effort into creating a beautiful collection of work, take great photographs, put time into describing the work and setting up the listings, and you're all excited and you hit publish and then nothing. Crickets, as they say. And I'm very mindful of this because it's an awful feeling and it makes you devalue your work when it's nothing to do with your work or how you've presented it. It's because you haven't built up over time people coming to your website. So while I love having a website, there are other things that you can do, especially in the early stages, to help build up that following and get people seeing your art because that's what you want. So I'll run through some of the online platforms that are out there and the ins and outs of them, you know, what's good about them, what's not so good about them. So before we get into it, I have a review of the week, and this one comes from Williams, Oregon, via Apple Podcasts USA. I relate to Laura's approach to self and life. She and Richie demonstrate working together, communicating effectively, and following your dreams. Art is just the icing on the cake. Thank you and just keep sharing. I love that review because sometimes I worry about us sharing too much about just like our family life and what's going on. And I wonder if people want to hear about that and whether I should be more focused on the art. And I find it comforting because we've been getting so many messages lately where people are enjoying hearing about what's been going on in our lives, and it paints a fuller picture of what it's like to be an artist, I think, you know.
You could talk about business and how to sell, and we are talking about selling, obviously, but sometimes you just want to hear the real side of running a business. And if you can relate to how we work and how we get on and our trials and tribulations, you realize that not only is it possible to have your own business, but it's also possible to live your life.
Yeah.
You don't have to, oh God, if I go into business, I'm going to be working a million hours a week. I'll never see my family. Whereas people listen to this podcast, they hear our dynamic, and we just want people to know you can do this.
You can do this and you can focus on your lifestyle. Mm. Like, I think that's a very important part of every decision you make as a creative business owner. You need to think about, how is this going to impact upon my day-to-day? How will I feel? And even as I run through all of these different platforms, that's a big consideration because some of these you may not make as much money, but they'll look after the shipping, the packing. It'll be an easier process. Whereas there are other options where you take on board all of that and you need to be prepared. You need to have boxes and somewhere to store the stuff, time to pack things, sign things. So these are all considerations. And that's what I want to emphasize today, is that there's no right or wrong. It depends on your unique circumstances.
Yeah. And we were just talking the other day, and you were saying it's not so much when a business opportunity comes in, your first thought isn't how much money will I make? It's how will I feel if I pursue this avenue of revenue?
Yeah, it's a big shift because when we first started out, we said yes to pretty much everything that came our way. And that's quite normal. And it's a good idea to test things out. And then in the last year or so, we've become very particular, I guess is the word, about what we say yes to. And we've actually said no to some pretty big opportunities just because when we run it through that filter and think about the time and what it would involve, there's just that feeling of, you know, it's exciting now, but then on the actual days when I need to do it, how am I going to feel? And then I feel the dread, like, oh, I don't know if this is something that I actually want to do. So, you know, I feel like that's an important thing to keep in mind. But it, again, it varies depending on where you're at.
There's this corny meme that goes around and it's like, find your why. And when you look at a business opportunity, is that your why? Like, why are you in business in the first place? And our why is time for our family. So if we can do just what we want to do, it's perfect.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And we've had to make some tough decisions just very recently. We might talk about it on a podcast episode about how we had to get back to our why and say no to something that was taking us away from what it is that we wanted and why we truly created this art business in the first place. But anyway, Let's talk about online art platforms. The first category that I want to talk about are print-on-demand services such as Society6 and Redbubble. So most of us have seen these at some point, and this is where you take your artwork and you upload it. So you need to have a digital form, you know, a photograph or a scan. You upload it to their site, you create an account within minutes. It's all free and fairly easy to set up. And then you can choose what products you want to create from that piece of art. So you can sell prints, canvases, mobile phone cases, aprons, planners. There's a whole lot of different things. So once you have it set up and available to sell, they take care of the production of the products and the shipping out to your customers. So it's a very sort of passive kind of income in a way, because all you're doing is putting your artwork up on their platform. So you don't need to build an online shop or anything like that. So it's fairly easy to get going. But the downside is that you are not going to make a lot of money from this. It's a difficult one to gain a big, it's a difficult one to, I guess, make a living from, because the percentage is only 10%. So 10% off whatever you're selling is not a huge amount. And there are some artists out there that have stayed on these platforms and grown and continued on because they have been able to get a big following and get the numbers that they need in order to make it a reasonable income source. It is very passive. So from that point of view, if you can get on with selling original paintings through your own site, and whatever else you do, running workshops, online classes, it can just be a nice little earner in the background. One of the advantages is that there's a big audience over there. So pretty much everyone's heard of Redbubble and Society6. So it gets people over there searching. You may be able to get your artwork in front of people that wouldn't necessarily know about you. But I will say it is very competitive, because they're coming over to a site where there's other artists that can easily get their attention too. So it will expose you to new people, but hanging on to those people and building a relationship with them is a bit harder.
Yeah, the great thing about these kind of platforms is that it gets you on the ladder.
Yeah, and many artists use these initially before they have built their own websites and things like that. It's just a way to get started. And if you've got some art and you've taken photographs, you can put it up there and get going. So the next option I want to talk about are the online art galleries. And a very well-known one is called Saatchi Art, and they're based in the US. And in Australia, we have Blue Thumb and Art Lovers Australia, and there's probably quite a few other similar platforms. So these are more focused on selling original paintings. It's like the idea of an art gallery, but online. And some of them do limited edition prints as well. But it is a more, what's the word, like a bit more premium kind of feel to it. Some of them you do need to apply for. So you would fill out an application form, upload some examples of your art, and then they would accept you into the platform so that you could use it. So
they may be looking for a specific look.
Yeah, they may be, or they might just want to see that you are taking good photographs of your work and protecting their reputation as a company. The application process, from what I've heard, is fairly easy for most of them. They're quite happy to bring on new artists. So it is a great way to get your art out there. And they do a lot of work in promoting artists and having featured artists. They help you. They give you advice around packing and shipping. There's often, you know, forums where you can get support. And this is a good way to get started, because you're kind of supported in learning valuable skills.
Do you set the prices on those?
Yes, you do set the prices on those. And they generally take around 30 to 35% as a commission.
That's fair.
So it's a bit lower than a traditional gallery, like when you go into a gallery, a bricks and mortar type place, it's usually 50%. one thing to be mindful are some of the extra costs. So, for example, if they are using something like PayPal to pay you, there's going to be fees that come out on top of what they've taken out for themselves. And then there's also the cost of packaging. Most of these companies have an expectation around how you package. They might send you a little video or a tutorial around how you do it. And they'll expect you to obviously do a very good job. So you need to go and get those packaging supplies, or else use something like a packaging company like Pack and Send to do it for you. So there is a cost around that. And then I think with the shipping, they usually add the shipping on to the price of the artwork. So that's covered. But it is, you do need to package it. And often there'll be a courier that they use, maybe a preferred supplier. So you would call that courier to let them know that you're ready. So your artwork's packaged and ready to go. And then the company would come and pick it up and send it on to the person who's bought your art, the collector.
Excellent.
So I feel like this is a good way to get going with selling original paintings. And I've certainly had conversations with other artists who have found this was a good way to get into it. Many of these platforms are popular. They're bringing in a lot of people, and they can sometimes be connected with what I want to say is like popular TV shows like The Block and things like that. I mean, The Block has its own online platform. It's another one that you could have a look at. But they are a very contemporary way to buy art, and they're popular with people now to go to these places to discover new artists, and they're quite often feature artists, so it can be a really good way to get your name out there. I'm listing these kind of in the order of least amount of work to most amount of work. So now we're moving into Etsy. I'm pretty sure everyone's heard of Etsy. You've heard of Etsy.
Yeah, I have, yeah.
I love Etsy. I've never had a shop on Etsy, I will admit that. But some of the very first pieces of art that I ever bought were on Etsy. So this is before I started painting and I just wanted to buy something to put up in the house. I would go to Etsy and often look at their featured artists or just browse around. So it does have a fan base.
Is that some of the art we found unopened while we're packing up our house to move?
Okay, I am guilty, and I'm very sorry to the artists that I bought the paintings or the pieces from, that there are a few that haven't yet found their way into frames. But
there's hope.
They're there. They're ready. So Etsy is almost like having your own online shop. So you're getting into the whole shipping, packaging. It's you're pretty much handling all the details yourself. You're setting your own prices. What you are using is Etsy's online space. So you're not running your own online shop. You are running it on Etsy. So because of that, you are at the mercy of Etsy and how they like to do things and what rules they have. And you know, you just need to be mindful that it's not your own little corner of cyberspace. So the fees are much lower. They take 5% of the sale price. So you receive most of the revenue with Etsy.
So with Etsy, do you design your homepage on Etsy? Do you design your layout?
Yeah, look, it's not.
Is there plugins?
I think all of the Etsy shops have a very similar feel. So you don't get that ability to do much in the way of design. You might be able to put a header on your shop, but it's all similar. I mean, I buy things from Etsy and all the shops look pretty much the same. But having said that, how you describe your shop and the effort that you put into your listings is key, because good photographs, clearly explaining what you are selling, how it will be shipped, and the relationship that you have with your customers, because with Etsy, you are dealing with the customer. You know, when they put in an order, it's very similar to running an online shop through your website. You'll be notified. If they have questions, you'll respond back to them. You'll let them know when you've shipped it. And it's one of the nice things about buying something from Etsy is that you get to know the seller directly, and they'll, you know, chat to you and say, oh, I hope you liked it and all that sort of stuff. So you can build personal relationships. and have repeat sales.
Like, can you sell original art on Etsy?
Yes, you absolutely can sell original art on Etsy. You can sell prints, you can sell planners, calendars, anything really. Etsy's a very much like a open marketplace because there's not just artists on Etsy. There's all sorts of things. You know, you can buy Squarespace templates on Etsy or clothes or whatever. So there's flexibility there. Etsy is a lot of work. So that's something to consider. If you are starting an Etsy shop, you're going to be very busy with packing, shipping, responding to queries, and you need to be set up to run as an online shop. Whereas some of the other options that we talked about earlier, they're a little bit more
hands off.
Yeah. You know, you're not doing as much. You're not engaging with the buyer. Basically, all you're doing is either uploading your artwork or you're uploading your artwork plus packaging it and sending it on. So it's a little bit less hands on. So the next option is the one that I have the most personal experiences, and that is selling directly from my Squarespace website. And I enjoy this because I get to do the design side of things. I can set it up how I want, and I'm also getting all of the revenue. So there isn't any percentage that I'm paying other than my monthly Squarespace fee. And also the transaction fee, because on my website I use Stripe, but depending on what you use, whether it's PayPal, Stripe or other services that enable you to accept money, there's always going to be a bit of a fee there. But once again, like Etsy, if you are selling work through your website, you will need to pack it and ship it. And this was great until it wasn't.
It's great. It's great in the beginning when the numbers are small.
Yeah.
But once you get rocking and rolling, it can, it's hard.
So for people who are wondering what happened to my online shop, this is exactly what happened. It turned into a headache and me seeing orders coming in going, I just don't want to ship. I don't want to package. I don't want to write notes. It just got too overwhelming. And that's when I actually started thinking about flipping back into something like, you know, Society 6 or, you know, using something like that where I could actually let go of some of the responsibilities. And this is where it comes back to thinking about your lifestyle and what you want to be spending time on. But recently I have been thinking about another option, and that is where you connect up a drop shipping company to your Squarespace website or your Shopify or BigCartel or whatever it is that you use. You can actually use another company that will package your art up and ship it out. And then this is particularly in relation to prints. So that's something that I have been considering, but we haven't got there. We talked about this episodes back that we were looking at different options for how we could sell our work or sell my work with our limited input by us. So that's something that you could do. The advantage of that is that you maintain your site. So people are buying artwork directly through your website, but you are shipping it out using another company. So you're not doing the packaging and shipping. So that is great if you want to get people onto your website, because for us, having people on our website is wonderful because then they might go and listen to a podcast or download a PDF or take an online class. Like, that's where we want people, is on our website so that they can have a total experience there. So we don't really want to be sending people over to other external sites. So that's one of the challenges that we have. Now, you can set up your Society 6 page so that it's kind of embedded into your site. So, you know, but it's still a different site. So that's something as well that I've been grappling with and thinking about.
When you first start selling, it's like super exciting, you know, because we were running the prints, we were packaging, posting. And when you look at the whole process, you have to go to the stationery guys to get your backing boards. You have to go and get your plastic covers. Then you have to go get your inks, your papers, a place to print. And then you're deciding, do I print 5 a day, 25 a day? Do I only do it once a week? And you're constantly running either to print a print, to package it and send it, or you're in the post office trying to get it to America, and there's a different change of how they input the information. It has to be done by hand. Now it's done by computer. And it just got so, it was never hard. It just got infuriating.
Being totally honest about it now, aren't you? We found it all a bit head-wrecking. And I forgot to mention there that if you're doing it on Etsy or doing it on your website, then you are going to have to produce those prints, if you are selling prints, yourself. It's not like using a Society 6 or something like that where they actually do the printing for you. So you need to have a printer that gives you a quality art print, and you need to figure out how to photograph and scan your work, which we've talked about before on the podcast, but it is a very tricky and challenging process. And you can outsource it and use a print lab, but that also brings in quite expensive fees for that type of work. So there's a lot to consider. So even though the rates on something like Society 6 are very low, you can kind of understand why, when you start thinking about all the work that is involved, that you won't be doing at all. So you've got to weigh it up.
But if you want to give it a go, you will learn a lot. You know, you learn a lot about business. You learn a lot about time. What I learned from that entire process was exactly how much my time was worth. Because you're selling a print for, let's say, $75. And just an example.
Yeah.
Let's say one order came in a week. You'd have to leave your house, drive to the studio, do your print, let it dry, package it, take it to the post office.
It erodes the income pretty quickly, doesn't it? Or the revenue.
It does indeed.
So it's a tricky one. And then when you start getting numbers, that's good because you're batching. But then that becomes a lot of work because suddenly you've got loads of, you know, prints to package and things like that. So there's a lot to think about when it comes to these sorts of things. But I will say, when you do first sell your first, you know, few original paintings or prints, it's such a good feeling. So I don't want to be like negative about it, because that's how we got started. And every so often, like when I feel like I haven't sold any work online in a while, I'll put together a collection and put it out there and it sells, and it's the biggest buzz. Mm-hmm. I still get that feeling of, oh my goodness,
I'm a real artist.
There are people out there that want to buy my art, and it's exciting and it fuels the fire. You know, you've got to try these things, even though some of them eventually don't make sense anymore because you've moved on and you've evolved. But that's great. That's part of growing as an artist. I also want to mention that you can use social media to sell your art. And I've seen artists that sell directly from social media. And in other words, they'll put the post up for sale, you know, comment if you want to buy it. And then they'll contact the person, and you'll have a bit of a chit chat on DMs and figure out, you know, what you're going to do. You send them a PayPal invoice. It's a very labor intensive kind of way to do it. My preference is to get your social media people over to your website. I just think it's a more professional way of handling things, and you can use shoppable posts on Instagram. You can set that up with Squarespace or Shopify or any of those places so that people can buy off of Instagram, but it connects to your website. It's a bit of work involved to get it set up, but I do think it's worth it to move on from that sort of time-consuming back and forth to something that's a little bit more automated. So to finish off, I just want to share some general tips that apply to pretty much all of these platforms. So first of all, taking some time to set up either your online shop or your account. And that means your bio, a headshot, who you are, maybe some photos of your studio, your work, like setting the scene, letting people get to know you as an artist. and taking a quite personal approach, you know, letting them in, your quirks and what you like. A well-written about page can do a lot for you when people are scouring and looking for things online. The next thing is to have good photographs showing your art in different, you know, using different angles, different types of shots, showing how your art will look in a sort of everyday setting. So you might want to use a mock-up that you can get, use them in Photoshop, or you can get apps these days where you can mock up your artwork, those sorts of things. But I think even just nice photographs of your art, you know, with a vase of flowers or on a table or something like that, where you can get a sense of how it will look.
I find that although mock-ups are very good, like they're awesome for your website, as a selling tool, I don't really think they're that good.
I don't know. When they first came out, I was like totally wowed by them. So I'd see a few artists using them and I'm like, how do they do that? And where do they get them from? And they look so professional. And now I've shifted a bit with it, and I really like natural photographs, like rather than that feeling of a painting being stuck on a set.
Yeah. And I got some expensive Photoshop mock-ups, and the great thing about a Photoshop mock-up is you can change the wall, the set, the frame color. Like you've got a lot of control. But even then, you just can't beat the painting on a nice background.
Yeah, and that's how we have sold most of my paintings online, has just been taking photographs on a nice background, usually wooden boards, because we like that rustic feel, a little bit of some props and things, and then also a nice clean photo that shows the art as close as you can to what it will look like when they get it, because that's very important, and getting it well lit and the colours accurate.
Yep.
It takes a bit of time and playing around. I mean, we've spent countless hours on photography and scanning to be able to present the paintings that I've created in their best possible light, but it pays off. It really does.
And the great thing about it is, and the reason I mentioned the mock-ups not being the way we go, is that we get approached off the back of the photographs we take, the natural light photographs. People will approach us, you know, would you like to license that piece, or are you available for a commission, or is that for sale?
Yeah, most of the inquiries that we get are from Instagram posts or Pinterest posts, and that actually leads me to the next point, which is sharing your process and making the most of social media and email newsletters and whatever tools you have available to you to promote what you do. So whether you are promoting the fact that you have a collection over on Society 6, or that your latest painting is up on Blue Thumb, or you've just restocked your online shop, letting people know where your art is and how they can purchase it is key. And bringing them along the story. So when you are creating a piece, let them know, you know, this will soon be available, or I'm working on a new collection. And use everything that's available to us. You can be creative with it. Share Instagram stories, chat about your latest collection. Bring people over to wherever it is that you sell your art. And even if you only have a small social media following, because it's those first few sales from your friends, your neighbors, the people that you know, that's the beginning. That's how it starts. And we all started with that. Even the artists that you look at today and go, oh my goodness, look at that online shop, look at everything they do, the work they have in galleries. They started off by selling a painting probably to someone they knew down the street.
Yeah.
Or giving something away.
Yeah, for a birthday present.
It starts and it builds slowly. You have to remind yourself of this, because it takes time to build up an audience so that you can release a collection and they all sell out in minutes. That is the result of a lot of work that you've done, a lot of sowing the seeds. And the artists that are really good at sowing the seeds are the ones that do well in the end, that they bring people along in their journey and they build the relationship. And that's how art is sold. In most circumstances, it's because someone becomes a big fan of the artist. They love what they do. They buy the art because they feel that personal connection. So these are platforms, these are tools, but don't underestimate you as an artist and what you can provide to the people that are collecting your art, like letting them in, letting them get to know you.
I was just about to say 3,000 fans on your email list trumps 30,000 followers on any social media platform.
Yeah. I mean, I can still remember when I had 300 people on my email list. Like, I started so small, so small. And that's why I want to emphasize that, because it's totally possible to build up over time into something that's big and wonderful. But you've got to be willing to do the work at the beginning and celebrate the small victories, because, you know, that's where it starts.
And one thing we haven't touched on at all, when you sell a piece of art, you have to make another piece of art to sell behind it. You know, you can't rest on your laurels. You've got to
be able to keep going. And that brings in consistency. And I will say, this isn't something I've been particularly good at. I haven't been great at maintaining a web shop, adding new listings all the time. But I do know artists that are very good at this. They are on the ball. They are continually adding new collections, working on things. And this is how you get a very, very good, profitable online shop going, with consistent work towards it. And just on that, I also wanted to mention that there are all sorts of great strategies that you can use, particularly on social media, but things like doing painting a day, or we're just about to head into Christmas, you know, something like the 12 days of Christmas, and every day you have like a new thing in your online shop. I see all sorts of this sort of stuff going on, and it's great. It works really well. People love sales and something, an incentive to go and check out your stuff, a good deal. We're all on the hunt for a good deal. And we actually have another episode where we talk about 5 strategies for selling your art online, and it's more about that side of things. So it's not so much about the platforms. It's about, you know, how do you encourage people to buy your art? And we talk about, what do we talk about in that episode? I know we talk about a painting a day. We talk about VIP events, flash sales, things like that. So that episode is number 40, and I'll link it in the podcast. And I also wanted to link the PDF that we have, which is called Building Your Brand as an Artist, because all of this is helped by having a strong sense of who you are as an artist. You know, things like working in collections is going to help for people to know what you're all about and be able to recognize what you do. So that workbook will help with that, and you can find that at laurahornart.com/building-your-brand. And of course, that'll be in the show notes as well. Well, that's it for this week. I hope that you found it helpful to hear about all these different online platforms and the pros and cons of each one. I also wanted to give everyone advance notice, since we were just talking about sales. We are going to be having our biggest sale of the year, and this is on online classes. It's our Black Friday sale. So there will be savings of up to 50% on our online classes, and we only do this once a year. If you've had your eye on a class, or maybe a few classes, this is the best time to get those classes at a big discount. And the sale will be running from Monday the 23rd of November, 11:59 p.m., so almost midnight, through until 11:59 p.m. on Saturday the 28th of November. It's 5 days, and that is Eastern Standard Time in America, just to confuse everyone. I will put that in the show notes as well, but just keep in mind, we do have a Black Friday sale coming up, and it's a big one. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in, and I hope that you'll join us again next time.